Hello, Gallatin Valley. This is Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Nurse Nancy. Our producer is Robin Fly. On September 1st, SB 8, a bill banning abortions after 6 weeks, went into effect in Texas. This is the most restrictive abortion law in the country, and while it doesn't immediately affect Montana, it is an example of the types of restrictions anti-abortion forces are pushing across the nation, including here in Big Sky Country. In our state, for example, legislators passed 4 new anti-abortion measures during the last session, and Planned Parenthood is suing the state to protect the rights of pregnant people against these restrictive laws. We'll be talking about that later in the program, and we'll also hear about self-managed abortions, past and present. Now, we're going to start this half hour by listening to excerpts from a press call featuring abortion advocates in Texas, recording on September 21st, 3 weeks after the 6-week abortion ban went into effect there. You'll hear advocates reference the Women's Health Protection Act, or WIPA, a federal bill that would protect access to abortion in every state. Specifically, WIPA, which has passed in the U.S. House of Representatives, would create a new legal protection for the right to provide and access abortion care free from medically unnecessary restrictions, including forced waiting periods, biased counseling, and pre-viability bans like the one in Texas. You'll also hear advocates explain how the Texas ban has already created problems for pregnant people there. Let's listen.
Welcome, and thank you all for attending this press call on the impacts of Texas's 6-week abortion ban and the current state of abortion access in the state of Texas. I'm Diana Gomez, pronouns she, her, ella, the advocacy director at Progress Texas. It is a rapid response media organization dedicated to advancing progressive causes, including abortion access in our state and nationwide. I will be moderating today's call on behalf of the Trust, Respect, Access Coalition. This is a coalition of reproductive health, rights, and justice organizations and leaders in Texas. Today, we're going to be hearing from advocates and policy and healthcare experts as they discuss the nature of the ban, describe how it impacts Texans, and explain how it's part of a broader anti-abortion agenda in the state and nationwide. We will then take questions from y'all, moderated in the Q&A session. So don't forget to put any questions you have in that Q&A box. I will wait till the end of when our speakers speak to start picking out some questions from there. Today, you will be hearing from Avow Texas Executive Director Amy Arambide, Texas Equal Access Fund Executive Director Camion Connor, Frontera Fund Executive Director Zaina Zamora, Fund Texas Choice Co-Executive Director Anna Rupani, and Dr. Gozala Moyedi, OBGYN and Texas abortion provider. With that, I'll hand it over to our first speaker, Amy Arambide of Avow.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Amy Arambide. I use she, her, hers pronouns, and I'm the executive director of Avow, an organization that works to secure unrestricted abortion access for every Texan. On September 1st, Texas enacted SB 8, a ban on abortions around 6 weeks of pregnancy. This ban has stripped millions of Texans of their constitutional right to access abortion. It is not only the most restrictive abortion ban in the country, it also allows vigilante extremists to sue any person who helps somebody obtain an abortion and collect a financial reward of $10,000 for each defendant. To be clear, some misinformation has been prevalent. Texans who receive an abortion around or after 6 weeks cannot be sued. This law is designed to intimidate providers and clinic staff out of providing abortion care and bully abortion funds from providing support. As a result of this law, providers and abortion funds could face ruinous financial penalties, legal costs, and court orders forcing them to shut their doors. This law is an unprecedented attack on Texans' constitutional rights, And by allowing an individual to take it upon themselves to enforce the law, instead of relying on the usual mechanisms of state government enforcement, the law is opening the door to politically motivated lawsuits and massive abuses of our legal system.
And now I'd like to introduce Anna Rupani of Fund Texas Choice.
I'm Anna Rupani. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I am the executive director of Fund Texas Choice, a nonprofit organization that provides Texans equitable abortion access through safe, confidential, and comprehensive travel services and practical support. People often face significant financial barriers to accessing abortion. We know that if pregnant individuals struggle to pay the cost of their abortion, they are likely struggling to pay the cost to get to their abortion. This is often compounded by other factors like seeking childcare, taking time off of work, and these costs add up. Many people also face significant stigma for seeking an abortion. They may not be able to reach out to their family and friends for help with childcare or transportation, which increases their emotional and financial burden. According to the analysis from the Guttmacher Institute, the new six-week ban will increase the average driving distance to access an abortion clinic by nearly 15 times. Since September 1st, 99% of our clients have had to travel out of state to get access to care. This is a sharp increase from the 30 to 35% of our clients we sent out of state prior to the enactment of SB 8. We saw the direct impact of SB 8 within 3 hours of the workday on September 1st. We had a client who went to her first appointment on August 31st and had to undergo a transvaginal sonogram as required by yet another restrictive Texas law. At this point, no embryonic cardiac fetal activity was detected. She then had to wait the mandatory 24-hour waiting period, another restrictive Texas law, before waiting to get an abortion. On September 1st, she went back to the clinic to obtain her abortion and was forced to undergo a sonogram where embryonic cardiac fetal activity was detected. Our client was devastated. After having taken off from work for 2 days, traveling nearly 200 miles round trip, she was denied an abortion. She had to reschedule her appointment for 3 weeks from her original appointment and will now be traveling 1,000 miles round trip and have to take off 2 more days from work. This is not fair and this is unjust. Although Fund Texas Choice has been able to support this Texan by providing a rideshare to and from the clinic, from the client's hometown, food, and lodging, this hurdle should not exist. We are fortunate that we will be able to provide the same kind of support when she is able to access care again. But we know that some folks are unable to take off that time from work, find childcare, and there are other hurdles created to access care. In this hostile landscape, Practical Support and Abortion Fund are providing crucial support to their communities by helping pay for abortions, transportation, lodging, childcare, and more. We are proud to provide this support and will always be here to support patients. But the truth is that funds shouldn't have to fill the gap so patients can access the basic healthcare that every person deserves. This is not just, nor is it fair. No one should be prevented from accessing an abortion care because of where they live or how much money they have. Thank you.
And now I'd like to introduce Dr. Moyeti.
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Azaleh Moyeti, and I use she, her pronouns. I'm a board certified OBGYN, a board member with Physicians for Reproductive Health, the child of formerly undocumented Iranian immigrants, a mom, a Texan, and a proud abortion provider. As a physician, I know firsthand that abortion saves lives. For those thousands of people I've cared for, abortion is a blessing. Abortion is a sacrifice. Abortion is freedom. As a mom and an OBGYN, I know abortion care is part of supporting thriving families and communities. Access to timely, compassionate, and culturally relevant abortion care is a critical public health measure. All Texans have the human right to have children, the human right to parent the children they have in safe communities, and the human right to abortion care. All Texans deserve reproductive justice. Rigorous scientific research has shown over and over again that laws restricting abortion care are dangerous and hurt our communities. Abortion restrictions do not improve the health and safety of the expert care I provide. All abortion restrictions are inhumane and unethical. targeted restrictions on abortion provision like SB 8 are part of a long racist history of reproductive control and coercion in the United States, specifically against Black and Indigenous communities. My own profession was developed through the systemic torture and experimentation of Black women for the benefit of white women. Knowing the history of how the practice of medicine has been used to uphold and defend white supremacy is crucial to the understanding of how SB 8 became law. It is not a coincidence that yesterday our nation saw horrific images of Customs and Border Patrol whipping Black people right here in Texas. The systems that whip Black people seeking freedom at our southern border are the same systems that force Black people into continuing pregnancies, deny them dignity in childbirth, and dehumanize them for seeking community support for their families. Restrictions on abortion care are part of a long and violent history of racially based reproductive control in the US. SB 8 is an attack on my neighbors and on my community. It targets people who need healthcare through the intimidation and harassment of their trusted healthcare providers, physicians like me, and the courageous staff I work with across the state. This law aims to financially ruin me and destroy my career simply for doing what I was trained to do, provide high quality, evidence-based healthcare to my fellow Texans. This law is already devastating the health and well-being of every pregnant person in this state. Last week, I received messages from my colleagues in 10 different states who were providing abortion care for people from Texas. 10. It is a human rights disaster that people from Texas are traveling to Michigan or New York or even New Mexico for healthcare. No person should be forced to travel outside of their community for healthcare ever, but especially during a global pandemic. Every person deserves abortion care in their own community. Right now, journalists are laser focused on profiles of who is leaving Texas for abortion care. We need you to continue uplifting those voices while also making space for people to obtain time-sensitive abortion care without intrusion. I also want to urge you to look deeper. Who cannot leave Texas? Who is being left behind? What will happen to those folks in the next 5 to 8 months? What is happening to all pregnant people in Texas right now? Not just the ones seeking abortion, but the ones having severe pregnancy complications with desired pregnancies. How are local hospitals responding to this law? How are they misinterpreting or misapplying this law? There is a larger story here that does not rely solely on extracting trauma from the people surviving a public health disaster. Finally, I want to say that blocking or overturning SB 8 is not enough. There is no safety or health benefit to any abortion restriction in Texas or anywhere else. All abortion restrictions are rooted in white supremacy, and we must dismantle them all. The communities I serve have been deprived of fundamental health care for far too long. And as a community physician, I demand action now. I'm honored to be joining a panel of advocates for abortion care in the House Oversight Committee on September 30th. And we'll be sharing the devastating impacts of SB 8 on our communities over the last 30 days because Congress needs to hear from us now. And these coercive tactics cannot continue.
This is Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman. I'm Dr. Nurse Nancy. We've been listening to statements made by abortion advocates in Texas on September 21st, 21 days after a 6-week abortion ban went into effect there. Later in the show, we'll be talking about new abortion restrictions here in Montana, and we'll hear interviews with Laura Kaplan and Susan Yano about how women have self-managed abortions in the past and how they are doing that today. Now let's get back to some of the questions and answers from the September 21st Texas press call.
For our first question, Camion, could you speak to what steps you and others are taking to help people in Texas get abortions when they are past 6 weeks of gestation?
Yes, thank you for asking that question. I am so honored to be able to work alongside a lot of the folks on this call, especially the ones from abortion funds. You might not know this, but we have been helping Texans access abortion care outside of the state as long as I've been a part of T-Fund, which is a long time, since 2006. Because of the harsh restrictions in our state, people have always had the need to travel. So abortion funds have been working in working together to ensure that folks get the care that they need. So we're supporting folks financially with seeking abortion care outside of the state. We're also providing resources about which clinics they can go to. If anyone has questions, they can go to needabortion.org. And we work with abortion funds like Frontera Fund, Fund Texas Choice, CASEN, and the Bridge Collective, who all help assist folks getting outside of the state with logistical support like rides, food, lodging, and like general compassionate advice about how to navigate all of these systems.
Thank you. Next question for Zaina. What kind of stories are you hearing from people trying to access an abortion right now? Are they too frightened to even try to access care in Texas?
So far, and thank you for the question. You know, even before SB 8 was enacted, there was already issues happening across the state because abortion appointments were filling up and there were no abortion appointments available. We had a caller who was well beyond 6 weeks, and she called us before September 1st looking for help because she was told she was unable to get an abortion because her appointment was going to fall past September 1st. We told her the situation around the law and offered to give her financial and practical support to help her travel to wherever she needed to go. And she was unable to get her care. You know, the life circumstances that she was experiencing did not allow her to leave. And we told her, you know, we will help pay for all of your travel, lodging. That'll not be any expense that you'll have to do. We'll take care of that burden for you. But she just couldn't leave. And this was even before September 1st. So we've also had patients travel over 15 hours overnight to get an abortion because they were 7 weeks pregnant. And there's a lot of general confusion around the law as well. I know a lot of callers are scared that they can get sued or that they can be punished criminally or some way by somebody for getting an abortion in Texas. So there's a lot of confusion. And I think that's part of the purpose of these types of laws, is to create confusion around the legality of abortion.
Thank you for that. All right, we have another question now for Amy. How specifically would the Women's Health Protection Act address the concerns about the impact of the Texas law and other abortion restrictions?
WIPA would definitely remove a lot of the restrictions that are in place in Texas and ensure that access to abortion care is codified. And that would do a great deal to make sure that Texans can access the abortion care that they need. It's not complete. It doesn't address every issue area facing Texans. But I think it's a good first step. And it's a step that needs to happen now. It needs to happen like years ago, but it needs to happen right now.
Thank you for that. Another question for Dr. Moyeti. Are folks getting more questions from women about self-managed abortions since this ban has been in effect?
You know, self-managed abortion has definitely become a hot topic with this ban now in place, but self-managed abortion is, you know, it is really part of the cultural fabric of many communities that I take care of in Texas. So it is not a new thing. It is not a new pill that has made one new pill that has made this access possible. It is very common in many of the communities I serve. And, you know, the key with self-managed abortion, you know, or with home birth, is that I'm not involved, right? You don't actually need a physician for abortion care, for most abortion care, and you actually don't need a physician for most birth. I am there because of the law requires it, or for highly skilled, or for, you know, complicated cases that require someone who has expertise and skill. And so, I don't get particularly more questions around self-managed abortion than I normally do, but that's because self-managed abortion is safe, and people aren't usually seeing me if they are seeking self-managed abortion.
This is Body Politic, and we've been listening to excerpts from Texas abortion advocates on a press call held on September 21st, 21 days after the new 6-week abortion ban went into effect in that state. In the last excerpt, Dr. Moyeri addressed the safety of self-managed abortions, and we'll talk more about that in the next half hour. But right now, closer to home, we have our own challenges and our own advocates here in Montana. Here is Martha Stahl, President and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Montana. Martha, thank you so much for joining us. I know you've had a crazy day, and it's really good to have you here. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
So I had mentioned earlier in the show that Planned Parenthood is suing the state over 4 abortion laws that were passed during the last legislative session, and I definitely want to get to that and the impact it will have on Montanans. But I would love it if you would just take a minute to remind people, as a former patient of Planned Parenthood myself, I want to make sure that people know all the amazing services that Planned Parenthood provides here in Montana.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do that. So Planned Parenthood of Montana has 5 health centers across the state. So we have health centers, 2 in Billings, 1 in Great Falls, 1 in Missoula, and 1 in Helena. And we also offer telehealth services, which has been, you know, a really growing area for us during the pandemic. So at our health centers, we provide birth control, annual exams, cancer screenings, STI testing and treatment, abortion care, of course, as well as, you know, some basic primary care and integrated behavioral health services.
It's so important. But we're facing some challenges and you are pushing back. So could you start by explaining these 4 laws that your lawsuit addresses that the legislature passed and talk about what they will mean to everyday Montanans?
Sure, absolutely. So the 4 laws, I always talk about them as working together, even though they are individually very impactful, right, on folks in Montana. So the 4 laws are a ban on abortion after 20 weeks. There is a second law that we like to refer to as the Medication Abortion Omnibus Bill. And that has a lot in it. So it would be a ban on using telehealth for medication abortion. And it also would require some mandated, state mandated language in the informed consent process, including information that is just patently false and medically inaccurate about the possibility of a reversal of medication abortion, as well as a breast cancer risk. Again, those things are not actually medically accurate. And that law also includes increased reporting for medication abortion providers, you know, to the point where the information that we're reporting, it could be fairly easy to identify the patients, particularly in some of our smaller counties in the
state. Sure.
So that's the second. The third is a law that requires abortion providers to offer their patients a view of the ultrasound if an ultrasound is being performed on the patient, with no room for provider discretion, you know, based on individual patient circumstances. And then the last law is a ban on insurance plans in the exchange from covering abortion care. So, you know, I always think about these 4 laws as kind of squeezing access to abortion on both ends.
Really?
So
yeah.
The 20-week ban obviously bans abortion later in pregnancy, but the medication abortion by telehealth ban is really impactful early in pregnancy. So, you know, probably at this point, about 3/4 of our patients, abortion patients, seek abortions through medication abortion, and a fairly large percentage of those use telehealth. And those are folks who, on average, if they had to come into a health center, would travel, you know, 90 minutes each way on average. So the law also requires 2 additional appointments. So we'd be going from folks who don't have to travel at all now to seek that care to people traveling an average of 9 hours over the course of 3 visits. Mm. So the constraints on time and access, I think, are really, really important, particularly in a really large rural state like ours. And abortion, you know, obviously is a time sensitive procedure. So by squeezing at the beginning and the end, we really, you know, are looking at these laws together, perform, you know, creating a shorter window in which people can get that care and real obstacles early on. And then,
well, yeah. I wanted to ask, especially in such a rural state, I really appreciate the telehealth option. Was that something that was available before COVID, or is that fairly new? And is it available now, or has it been outlawed now?
Yeah, so it is available now. You know, for a few years, we've been doing medication abortion via telehealth between our health centers, because in Montana, physician assistants and physicians can provide medication abortion, but nurse practitioners cannot. Hmm. So at our health centers where we don't have a physician assistant or a doctor on site regularly, the patient can come to that health center and then connect with a provider at another health center. And so we've been doing that now for quite a few years. And more recently, last year, actually, it was late 2019, started offering direct-to-patient medication abortion where their meds are mailed to them. So, you know, really big difference in access and, you know, fairly widely used at this point. And yes, still available.
Good. So what is happening with the case?
Yeah, so it's been sort of a whirlwind. We filed in district court in August. We're seeking a preliminary injunction for the first three laws. So the 20-week ban, the ultrasound law, and the medication abortion law. We had a hearing on September 23rd. And just under a week later, we were expecting to hear from the judge on our request for immediate relief. Today, which when we're recording this is the 30th, because the law is going to affect October 1st.
Okay.
So we were expecting a ruling, and on Wednesday, the 29th, the state issued a motion to get the judge dismissed from the case.
Oh my goodness.
So, yeah. So on the 30th, there were multiple motions at the Montana Supreme Court, one to dismiss the judge, and then we had entered in a motion for immediate relief. So the judge that had been assigned ended up voluntarily stepping away from the case. A new judge was assigned. And then the case was remanded back to that judge in district court, who at the very end of the day, on the 30th, issued a temporary restraining order to keep the laws from being enforced while he has a chance, because he's the new judge to the case, to actually look at what's been filed so far and what the arguments were and make a decision on the preliminary injunction. So quite a roller coaster.
Indeed. So this show is going to air on Monday, October 4th. So it sounds like based on what happened today, telehealth abortion, for example, will still be legal on Monday.
That's correct.
But
yes.
Okay. So we are about out of time, but if people want to support Planned Parenthood, either for the work that it does in terms of healthcare in the community or in terms of the lawsuit, or if people need services from Planned Parenthood, what is the best way for them to reach you?
You know, the easiest way for folks to reach us is through our website, which is plannedparenthood.org/Montana. And folks who want to make appointments can make appointments directly from that website. People can make donations. People can get connected to our advocacy work and sign up as volunteers and advocates. So that's the easiest way, though we are very active on social media at Planned Parenthood Advocates of Montana on pretty much all of the social media platforms. So it's another great way to get connected.
All right. Well, Martha Stahl, thank you so very much for joining us on this busy day. And thank you for all the work that you do.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you again for having me.
You've been listening to Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman. We've talked about political and legal battles over abortion in Montana and Texas and the real-life impacts new laws have on pregnant people. My thanks to our guest, Martha Stahl, President and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Montana, and to the many Texas advocates we featured during this half hour. Join us in the next half hour to learn more about how women have, and still do, self-manage abortions.